And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 10 a.m. in the East Coast. And it's 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is October 4th, 2015. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we're going to have a surprise guest, as we always have. We open the door to new spirits, to new ideas, and to new people that want to have a say in this world that goes a little, crazy sometimes. But as long as we have faith in each other, as long as we know that we can make it through the day, it will be okay. So we're going to have Franca Zanka today with us, and then we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East. Of course, there is a lot of things happening in Jerusalem, and we want to talk about it. And then we're going to talk the involvement of Russia in Syria, and about the important task of the World Food Organization that needed to open the vault for the food seeds, the vegetable seeds in Norway today. So we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with Frank. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ollie.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you, because what I hear from your experience is something really, really incredible that happens. You bring it all with you, and there is something that you want to talk about your new book that you have. How exciting.
Thank you.
Well, tell me about it, because, to write a book, people think that, they have so many books, they don't appreciate how much effort and task and knowledge it takes to start writing a book, to write it, and to publish it. So what's the name of your book?
The name of my book is When a Man Looks at a Woman. It's a nonfiction book.
Okay. And what is all about? What made you think about it as far as, when a man looks at a woman? What do you need to know?
I think that in today's relationships, we're so quick to rush to divorce. We're so quick to end relationships when anything little happens. And so we have a very fast love kind of condition into how we look at relationships today. And I wanted to write a book that really explained and dealt with some of the questions that my friends and I, you always go through. So we had so many, mystifying questions about women and why we always get it wrong, and just from different personal experiences. I figured that some questions needed to be answered. And so this book really provides information to women, especially with respect to how men look at them, how they perceive them, and what the end result might be, based on three very basic things, which is their looks, their personality, and their lifestyle. So that's what the book is about. It's truly about, very distinct information from very, very expansive data, a collection of data, which we do naturally, because men are always looking at women.
Frank, I would think that, when you write a book about a man looking at a woman, you would help the men to understand the women. Not that the women need to read it and now we have to change. It's not that's how it works. You need to make it all the way through. You guys get it wrong. We are on the right side. That will change.
Yeah, I don't think we want you girls to change. I think we like women just the way they are. And it's because we love women so much that we have to understand them scientifically. And so this book really gives an insight into women from our perspective, so that women can learn how we think. Because if they learn how
give me some gist of that. Come on, how men think, so we can get it going.
Okay, here's the thing. Women always think that men want sex. That's the first thing they think. But, we don't want sex all the time. Just like women don't want sex from men all the time. We want conversation. We want beauty. We want essence. We want class. We want some substance in there, you know. So we don't want a one-night stand. We don't want anything that's so, you know, void of beauty and life. We want something that's long-lasting, that's contained in some kind of faith. You know, we want God involved. You know, we want to make it sophisticated. This is 2016. We don't want to run away from the pain and the compromise that we need to invest in. And so that's a new man.
Hold on a second. Let me say hallelujah first, because this is thing. It's like, men, women, we got our, you know, the equation wrong. Now come back. We want an old-fashioned relationship. That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm talking about, girl. That's exactly what
I'm
talking
about. All right. Now, I admit that the situation in the world is really, really important to be looked at, because we have a situation where the women, you know, they undermine their own self, you know, in the public square, let's say. For some reason, women thought that, you know, they need to sell what they have to in order for them to get attention, and it's really getting awful. I agree with that. So the question is, I agree with the fact that you don't want one standard. It means that's what you mean. But the question is, we need men to respect women more, because we have something that's called that, you know, women become so open, I guess, and so available, and they are everywhere, let's assume. We are the majority by definition. The question is how we can go back to the basics, to really the old-fashioned relationship, to get back to the core. I believe in that. I think that the world needs respect, and humanity needs respect, and it's enough with this behavior. I believe that so much. Do you have any clues?
You're absolutely correct. And this book has come at such a right time, because, you know, relationships are suffering. People need more. And you hit the point right there. Women need more. And so they don't have to be naked. They don't have to be on dancing poles to excite men. Men don't need that anymore. We're more sophisticated than that, because that's all superficial. And that's why women need to learn the real aspects, the scientific aspects of what men are looking for in them. We want women to stay the way they are. You know, look at you, for example. You know, you're a very classy woman, and anyone that takes a look at you can figure out that, you know, you're a woman of God, and you're a beautiful woman. And these are things that are exciting to men. We don't need to know or see anything else. We don't need to see you in a bikini shot.
Well, first of all, thank you. Can you come every time to say that? It's really nice. But the idea is that men have to understand one important thing, that women evolve. Let's go. We're going to basic, the respect of each other. But women, because they got the you know, the education now, they have the power because they work, so they have the liberty. They want to do things on their own clock. And men sometimes tend to have a difficulty to let them go. You know, it's really the crisis between men and women, that the men did not understand that women evolved to the liberty side, where she will be, she will welcome being alone instead of being controlled by men. And men, you know, they need to control the women. They give us a really, really hard time where we're going, who we're talking to, when the man has the liberty to do whatever they want. So I want the men to start evolving to the fact that, you know, give women some space.
Right. Yeah. You know, already the modern man doesn't need to evolve. He's constantly evolving. The men you're referring to are men from two past generations. Nowadays, men absolutely respect women. We want your opinion. We can't stand without you. We can't move forward without a great woman behind us. And we totally understand your time. We can't control it. A real man doesn't need to control a woman. A real man embraces her power and uses it to move forward. You know, and this is reciprocal. So I totally understand where you're coming from. But, you know,
right,
the kind of guys that I know don't do that.
I know, but most divorced. Let's be clear about it. We have 50% of the world population is separated for some sort of reason, and there are others. You know, the other 50 that are divided with men that have multiple women, because in our world, and others that you know bear you know a liberty in like in Scandinavia, have all the liberty to do whatever. So it's a fake, you know, unity, because once you have multiple women, you know, it's not a real relationship.
Absolutely.
The question is, are we going to try to correct the really mistake? Because the children suffering, and we have a generation that lives without both parents, and also the expenditure, just think about the economy, how it's getting devastated by the fact that the household needs to be divided into. People have to earn so much more to, you know, to make ends meet. Now, it's really important to understand that the world as society needs to create a new mechanism to start gathering the people. You know, men needs to let go, but women... Oh yes, you're absolutely on the dime. We're there. We are. The world needs some help here. Absolutely.
Yes, you're right on point. You know, marriages are crumbling before us. You know, we have a high divorce rate in the United States. I think that this book would really help bring into focus the way men and women see relationships. And there's a huge section in my book that talks about marriage, and we talk about some really essential questions that will bring people back into the crux of what marriage is. And I think that we've lost focus with that. People are so quick to get divorced or run straight to the courts or be separated. And that dismantles the family. And we need the family unit to be able to do the kind of things you're talking about, to keep this family foundation strong. And faith has to come into it. Because if you don't base your marriage, which is an institution created by God and that man, how can you then survive a marriage if you have no clue who created it? I think we have to come back to those kind of basics.
Absolutely. And God is, you know, talking about God praying to whoever pray together, stay together. That's what they say in the South. You always have to understand that praying together means that, you know, it's the glue that creates in the family constantly. Now, Frank, tell me how they can reach you, where they can find your book.
Okay, they can find my book online. It's available in print and on Kindle, but it's at frank.com. That's spelled with a Q, so that's FRANQ.com. We have a documentary that's coming out also with respect to the book, and we have some events involved also that we're going to be launching around.
All right, so the name of the book is When a Man Look at a Woman?
That's right. When a man looks at a woman, that's correct.
That sounds like a movie.
It is a movie.
like the new movie, California, Here They Come. Listen, Frank, first of all, what a pleasure talking to you, and what a great subject you mentioned. You know, here in this show, usually I speak on politics and the world affair. I barely touch base on humanity, only on the God side, you know, on the godly side. That's what I focus on. And this is a really fresh idea that I pray for you that you can send the message through, that the world will start to reorganize against, you know, institution as far as the marriage goes. Of course, everything is breaking loose to reorganize to make this world better. You know, we're learning by mistakes, but we'll be better, I'm sure. All right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And anytime you want to talk politics, I'm ready too. I can talk about the Iranian deal. We can go into Israel and Palestine, whatever you need, I'm here.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a good thing. Send me something in writing, and we'll check it out, all right?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having
me. All right, Frank, God bless you. Take care. Thank you so much, and good luck with this new book. Sounds great. Sounds great. Godspeed, all right?
Right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, let's listen to some music and we'll be back after that.
לוקחת חצי כדור להרגיע את עצמה, וזורקת משפט של אימור, אתה או אני או אתה, ואני בתוכי סגור, מילותיי כבר עיניי יוצאות, וחוץ מנלחוש את שמה.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis. What an incredible, you know, talk with Frank about, you know, when a man look at a woman, my goodness. And that song in Hebrew was about, you know, women crying to a man, which is really, really the subject of the matter, usually. And that's what, you know, in relationship. But, man, let's get some smile on. Now, let's talk about the situation of, you know, the emergency situation. That's we're going always the first. Of course, we have a situation on end in Jerusalem with stabbing of the thing, but we'll take care of it. We'll talk about it. But I want you to listen to something very important. There is in the world a situation where, you know, the food is scarce and we don't have, you know, more of the same. So they created some vault and they put it in a very, very cold place in Norway in order for that to keep all the seeds of the fruits and things that it's important for humanity to survive. So today they're helping one of the vaults. Let's listen to this.
Not much grows here. It's a polar climate with permafrost, but this building near the North Pole in Svalbard, Norway, houses seeds from all over the world, a backup in case a crop disappears forever. Kerry Fowler is executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust.
What we were looking for was this safe location, which was still accessible, and we wanted something that was naturally cold, so that if the refrigeration units went off, we'd still have frozen seed. And we found it in this location. It was really just perfect. So we essentially built a tunnel inside the mountain.
A tunnel leading to three vaults where the source of the world's food supply is stored.
We try to get a representative sample for each distinct variety. And if you package it properly and if you prepare it, namely you dry it to a fairly low moisture content so you reduce the biological activity, and then you freeze it, ideally at about minus 18 or minus 20 Celsius, then seeds can last for a long, long time, and in some cases just thousands of years.
Kerry Fowler was in Vancouver to receive an honorary degree from Simon Fraser University for his work in this field. He says the time to start preserving crop diversity is now.
Later this century, we're going to experience, or crops will experience, growing conditions that they've never seen before since the dawn of agriculture.
A crop like wheat, for example, has many varieties that adapt to various types of weather conditions. But the fear is a changing climate could make it impossible for certain varieties to survive, at least where they are now, leading to crop extinction. So Kerry says storing the seeds to the world's crop diversity is a good insurance policy.
Adaptation occurs because you have the diversity within a crop or species that allows it to evolve, and that diversity today is being held in seed banks, and that's what we're trying to conserve. So I think we're potentially in deep trouble with agriculture, but it's trouble that we can get ourselves out of if we plan ahead and are smart about it.
And this crop trust could one day help sow the seeds of the food we need to survive. For the Weather Network, I'm Ross Hall reporting.
All right. Thank you to the Weather Network. Guys, you have to understand that we take everything for granted. Everything in the world is a gift. Whatever we have is a gift. Now, all the wheat, you know, the stuff that we eat and take for granted, it has to be preserved. And in the Jewish faith, we have every 7 years, we let the earth relax and rest, and we don't use it. And this last year, you know, that we had was the year that is the seventh year, which is a year that you keep the earth well. And maybe, you know, other places in the world, they need to use it in order for them to understand that the earth needs, like the environment, needs to be taken care of. And that vault that was opened today, I know that the situation was that there is a vault in Syria And because there is a problem getting there because of the condition of war right now, they had to go to the source. And touching the Norway one, it means that we're going, you know, really to the deep necessity of humanity, and we need to understand that it's not for granted. So please take care of what you have and make sure that, you know, that you preserve and with attention, with care, handle everything with care, because those seeds are important. And I've been questioning the fact that, you know, that they are fixing those seeds and they're changing them, and that they're evolving to be something that doesn't really grow. So let's keep the original and keep them safe. Let's see if we have another one on that subject.
20,000 new seed samples were added to the collection held by the Svalbard Global Seed Vault late last month. Opened in 2008, the seed bank is located in the remote archipelago of Svalbard. Dubbed the Doomsday Seed Vault, the facility is carved into the permafrost of a mountain at about 130 meters above sea level, an altitude which protects the vault from climate changes. A 93.3 meter long tunnel connects the three vaults. The temperature is maintained at minus 18 degrees Celsius in the storage area. Vacuum and heat sealed, the seeds are placed in special 4-ply packages. Each envelope contains 500 seeds. About 820,000 plant seed samples from around the world are now deposited in the seed bank. The new seed additions include Japanese barley, Brazilian beans, wild potatoes and wild sweet potatoes from Peru, and red okra seeds from the United States.
All right, and we are back. You understand what they're caring for? They are taking care of the world food. My God. May we, you know, we grow to appreciate everything. Okay, now we're going to the real thing. The real thing is what's going on in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. We had this reunion of the United Nations. The United Nations, you know, meeting was, you know, it's an annual meeting. Everybody went there and everybody talked his talk, and, you know, they didn't accomplish anything, and they didn't talk about anything that is really relevant to how we're going to take care of business. Of course, Vladimir Putin went there and said, you know, you guys have to talk to us. We're going to take care of the terrorists because we're not going to handle it. And he's right, and the American joint forces, and they're talking and they're coordinating. It's going to happen. They are going to take control over the situation against terror. They're going to, you know, the West is going to win. Nothing they can do about it, because if the major forces like the United States of America and Russia are joint forces, you know, to do something, of course they're going to have a mistake in the way. Of course there was an incredible accident yesterday with the bombing of the doctor facilities in Afghanistan. But they, you know, it's a part. They're in the war zone. The war zone get, you know, to a little tricky sometimes. And I know how devastated were the Americans about it, and I feel for them. And Doctors Without Borders are like angels, and, you know, in the mix. And God, you know, may they rest in peace. And it's not easy to go about it and, you know, just mention it. We need to understand that people dedicate their life for humanity, and they got hurt in the mix of the war. So there is a time to say, okay, enough is enough. And the question is, when people are going to listen to enough is enough, what they want to do. And I was thinking about it, and somebody, you know, a very smart child yesterday was a guest in my house, and, you know, a friend of my son, he says, you know, in theory, when they talk about game, when you're playing the best of your game and every opponent plays the best of the game too, you're never going to win. You're going to have a zero-sum zero-sum game, which is so true. Because right now we have all forces around, and we are balancing each other. So the good forces are balancing each other. Nobody's going to fight each other because we are, you know, focused to defeat the terror. But we need to recognize who is terror. What is terror? Because they call it Daesh, they call it ISIS, they call it all those names, and al-Nusra. They call this all sort of name. But is terror is a guy that come to Jerusalem and stab, you know, a prayer worshiper? Is terror is a guy, you know, two guys with a shotgun that running across with a car and shooting parents, leaving four orphans in the middle of the holiday, just for what? You know, President Obama said that we need to talk about gun control, and everybody were really upset about it. But we do have to talk about gun control in America and in the world. Those rifles, of course, it's not connected, but those terrorists are, you know, for me, the terror that somebody is getting into a university and shooting people, for me, it's the same terror. Because it means that the terrorist is anybody who make use force, power, and devastation to terrify the rest. And so we are all immersed in it. So it's not about a question about, you know, about land. It's not about question about the territory. It's a question about defiance. They are defiant to the system, any system, because, you know, they are not obliging to what we have right now. So let's take a minute of music, and we'll get back to it. And that was Yehudit Ravitz with forgiveness. Forgiveness. We need to have forgiveness. Now let's talk about the situation with the Palestinians in Israel. They decided to break all the rules and change the game. That's what it is. Nothing we can say. They decided that the people that work in the Israeli parliament, that they are representative Israeli parliament, who work as a Palestinian in the Israeli government. I didn't understand how the Supreme Court did ever allow it, and I don't understand why you know, Israel need to agree to have a Palestinian representative in midst of the government, which is ludicrous for any country to be asked to have such a thing. And they declare that they are Palestinian, and they went and incited on top of the Temple Mount. They kicked, they said, they scream, you know, representative of the Israeli government, the Arab one that called themselves Palestinian, they say, go away, you know, for the Jewish people that went there. Now, I'm not going to go into Freedom of Religion Act of any of the Geneva Accords or Geneva, you know, Court of Justice or whatever. You know, you need to understand, nobody holds any territory in Jerusalem because it's still international. So anytime you guys say to any of us, it belongs to me, it's wrong because it's international. And Jordan needs to take control back of the situation, because those people that call themselves Palestinian, because they are ruining the name of many other people that try to have a life, they start to change the game and they're rioting. So, and the riots will not be tolerated. We're not going to say, you know, let's talk, I'm not going to say, oh, come, give me a hug. Oh, comfort me and me, forgive me. We are going to talk Turkey. The Israeli government is not going to tolerate it. And we have a new Israeli head of the police, which came from the Secret Service, as we say, which is going to be very, very functional because of all what's going on. It's gonna be a time before they get control, maybe, but they're gonna be. So I better send a message to everybody in the world that we had enough. And I don't know if the world's gonna boycott, gonna scream, gonna say, you know, you guys have to deal with all the refugees that's coming around. If they start rioting in the street, trust me, you're going to hold them to the police and to the law enforcement. So there is no reason for anybody to tolerate any misbehavior like anybody else. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. There is the law of the land. If you start stabbing people in the street, the law enforcement needs to take action. It doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. All right? Okay, guys. Let's get some more music, and we're going to talk about the relationship that we have with God on this. All right? All right, you guys, it's Lily Benny Davis. It's so good to be here. It's Sunday. I hope you have a good awakening in the West Coast. And I know in Israel they are ushering the holiday of Simchat Torah tonight, which is the celebration of the commandment, the books of Moses. And, you know, there are different people that celebrate it in different way, but the idea is that we are ready to start over the reading portion of every week. And we are going to start it next week, I guess. So tonight they're celebrating. But in this celebration, we see a lot of chaos. And what's the chaos is what everybody is doing. Why this unrest? And, of course, it's all economy. Nothing we can say about anything. It's, you know, this round of capitalism just got many people, you know, out of the game and in the game. And of course, when we have running for presidents that understand something about the economy, we can applaud them, because to survive that incredible cycle of economical crash, you need to be a champion. And Donald Trump definitely show some very good sign about it. Of course, for president, he's not, he doesn't have the experience, the political experience, but, you know, you're as good as your assistants. You're as good as your people who work with you. You're not, nobody is somebody without the people around him, or, you know, there is no one man show for real. It's all show, and then the man that runs it or make it happen. I know that, sorry. I know that we have to consider that a new page needs to be open. And, you know, the Russians escalating in Syria right now, an intervention is going to catch everybody upset. But I'm sure that the Americans are going to coordinate, and it's going to be short and not long. I just hope that it's going to be short. I don't know what they're going to do with the regime there, but Syria is the start, maybe the plug that is going to start reorganizing the world. And of course, NATO is opening a new counterintelligence center in Poland, which is huge. It's important. Think about Poland and the situation where she is located and how important it's going to be for the rest of Europe and the world. Now, the world is good players. We have incredible leaders around the globe that bring together. If you think what Angela Merkel did and what she's doing and how capable of a woman, of a lady she is, and how incredible is her task, and how, you know, she must be very godly, because to trust and bring upon the country so many refugees, it's incredible heart that she has. And we need to understand that it's not for granted. You know, people coming and knocking on people's door, it's not for granted that they let them in. And of course, we know other countries did not let them in. And we're trying to rotate, and we need to pay attention, because medicine, something that people have, and maybe right now some of the world, you know, in need of drugs and of medicine, they are on the go. But think about that. Think about what happens in Greece. In Greece, they manufacture medicine. This medicine is being sold at a cheap price to the world. Different countries in Europe. Now, we don't want to mention the country, because I don't want to point on anybody with blame. I'm just saying, Greece ran out of medicine for itself, and there are hospitals, you know, people in the hospital that calling that they have need of medicine, because the medicine, Greek medicine, is really cheap. And the rest of European are very high, so people, companies are making the medicine in Greece and sell it in, you know, and make some profit. And they buy everything. You understand? They buy everything out of them running, and the Greek are in difficulty of keeping their own. What a condition, and what a decision a man needs to do, if, you know, if you can get a profit from your medicine, or you're really doing the right thing. So let's start with what we need to do. We need to create a framework of emergency framework for the world. The world is needed so much here. Supply of food. Look at the seeds open. They open the vault. I don't know how many countries agree about it. But it means that the world vote for food. Now you get medicine in scarce. We're talking, this is essential, starting to be essential factor of life. Are we going to take control and organize, making a framework of, you know, of instruction for every leader in the world? Because people cannot invent their own reaction. They cannot invent their own solution. We need to come and play together as a world. And, the Russian President Vladimir Putin says the World Trade Organization needs to work as, you know, it's supposed to. And that's the way it should be. Now, some people have a problem with world government, and I don't understand why, when you have an economy that it's global, you have everything global. I don't understand why you don't believe that people need to be coordinating on the higher level in order for us to function as a world. The world needs some loving, tender loving care, you know, for real. And we need to help each other in this. And those goons that running around with stabbing people, children, ain't gonna get it, because the world is fed up. fed up with all those running around crazy. We are going to take care of this world because it's ours. It's nobody gave it to us. You know, we earn it. We need to keep it safe. All right, guys, it's almost quarter to. It's actually a quarter to the hour, and we're going to have some more music, and then we're going to talk about what is good to be kept in this world.
כל הכוכבים נופלים, כל האמיצים עוזבים, כל מי שצעק שותק, כל מי שצחק
And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Surety. It's Sunday, and it's we're ushering the new, the new celebration of the Books of Moses. And we want to remind everybody that the Holy City of Jerusalem is one that we all have to watch and keep. We have to remember there is a holy city in the world, and it's for all the rest of the world. And we need to keep her alive, united, and happy and in peace for everybody. That city belongs to everybody. We need the world to understand that on the hill, there is a place where we can actually pray to God in a whole holiness, and we need to preserve it. Get those goons out of there. Now let's listen to this. That if I forget you, the Jerusalem, we cannot forget her because that's the holy city of Jerusalem. And we have Rabbi Sachs that is going to talk about some good points to remember in our life.
I partly wrote my latest book, Future Tense, to combat this feeling that we're living at the worst of times. Look, there's Israel isolated on the international arena. There's anti-Semitism returning to the world 65 years after the Holocaust. Oi, things are bad. Hang on, guys. We've been around for a long time, 4,000 years. Tell me any other time when we had our own state and sovereignty in Israel and equality and dignity in the diaspora. We may well be living at the best of times. Of course, it's never easy to be a Jew, but I don't think there's ever been a better time to live as a Jew, because you can go to Israel and know what it is to walk through the Jewish landscape and speak the Jewish language and be part of an unbroken Jewish history. And then all of a sudden you come back to New York, or as I discover in London, in Britain, people, not Jews alone, but people generally, look for Jewish inspiration, Jewish guidance. Here we are engaging in vitro fertilization, cloning, genetic interventions, things human beings have never done before. And where do you turn for guidance? Pure reason? Well, pure reason, you know, pure reason isn't really a compass. you know, it depends on what your starting positions, what your axioms are, and who knows how tested human reason is, because we're dealing with a landscape we've never been on before, uncharted territory. When you're in uncharted territory and you don't have a map, take a compass. And there is no more tested compass than Judaism, this collection of wisdom that's been tested against reality for 4,000 years. And therefore we say things about medical ethics that not many people say. A lot of very religious people say, don't do genetic engineering, in vitro fertilization, you're playing God. Leave that to God. And we say no. We say God asks us to be his partners in the work of creation. So how can we use this technology to allow infertile women to know the blessing of a child? And all of a sudden you realize this most modern of technologies answers this most ancient of dilemmas, because Sarah and Rivka and Rachel prayed to God for a child, and it was the great work of God to give them a child. And now he's taught us how to be his partners, and we can treat infertile women and give couples children that they prayed for but at any previous age weren't able to have. So stop being negative about Jewish identity. To me, what it is to be a Jew in the world is to walk with pride but never arrogance, to feel a sense of thanks to God for our faith without ever denigrating anyone else's faith. As I put it, to be a Jew is to be a true to your faith and a blessing to others, regardless of their faith. And I would look at Judaism in the 21st century and say, without being blind to any of the dangers and any of the risks.
All right. That was Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi, the former chief rabbi of England, which talk about, you know, the Jewish duty is to be a blessing to the environmental, to the world. And I'm sure that, yeah, it's a very good point in saying so. And we know that we are supposed to be a light on the nation, and we really pray to God that, you know, our world task, our mission in this world is to help the world. And sometimes the helper gets blamed for, you know, inventing. But this is our role, and we believe in it. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this was our special Sunday with Israeli music. I hope you enjoy it. We had our guest, and we'll talk tomorrow, and we'll talk about heavy duty politics as usual. It's wonderful being here. I wish you a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Have a wonderful holiday, Simchat Torah, for every Jewish friend of mine. And the rest of the world, you know, whoever celebrated. And come back here and listen to us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Jerusalem time. God bless you. Ciao, ciao. I'm